This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 502 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. July corn, 508, down 5. September corn, 506 and 3/4, down 5. May soybeans, 1495 and a quarter, up 12 3/4. July soybeans, 1478, up 16 1/2. August soybeans, 1394 3/4, up 11 1/2. May wheat, 669, down 12. July wheat, 677 1/4, down 12. September wheat, 687, down 11 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Tight old crop soybean supplies, which the USDA reminded us of today, pushed soybeans higher. Corn settled back on planting activity in the southern states, and wheat values were cut on the USDA's report of substantial increase in world-ending stocks. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents lower at 469 to 497. Soybean bids were 12 to 15 cents higher at 1455 to 1489. And in the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents lower at 469 to 497. Soybean bids were 11 to 12 cents higher at 1487 to 1503. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 484 to 515. Soybean bids were 8 to 9 cents higher at 1471 to 1501. And wheat bids were 9 to 12 cents lower at 638 to 686. Illinois soybean processors cash soybean bids were 11 to 23 cents higher at $15 even to $15.40, with the basis 10 cents higher at 5 to 4.45 over the May. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.97.10 to $5.32.10 per ton, and that was $4 higher, with the basis steady at 15 to 50 over the May. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 5 cents lower at 498 to 508, with the basis steady at 4 under to 6 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 6 to 8 cents lower at 502 to 508, with the basis 1 to 3 cents lower at option to 6 over the May. Soybeans ended 13 cents higher at 1487 to 1498, with the basis steady at 8 under to 3 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 10 to 12 cents lower at 652 to 655, with the basis steady to 2 higher at 22 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 to 10 cents lower at 528 to 530, these elevators raised their soybean prices 10 to 12 cents with quotations of 1508 to 1521. Soft wheat closed 13 cents lower at 695 to 699, and Milo ended the day 4 to 5 cents lower at 520 to 523. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. Starting in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 465 to 480, and soybeans 1183 to 1210. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 466 to 492, and soybeans 1193 to 1218. In the southern part of the state, corn was 463 to 486, and soybeans 1194 to 1225. Soft wheat ended up ranging from 635 to 664. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 143.75, up 42 cents. June live cattle, 135.62, up 35 cents. August live cattle, 133.27, up 62 cents. April feeder cattle, 178.87, up 57 cents. May feeder cattle, 180.22, up $1.35. August feeder cattle, 181.85, up $1.27. April lean hogs, 125.02, up $1.72. May lean hogs, 121.12, up $2.87. June lean hogs, 121.75, up $3. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 9th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.19 lower in the range of $110 to $122, with a weighted average carcass price of $121.74. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 85 to 88, 4 to 5 weights 87 to 97, 5 to 6 weights 91 to 98, and 600 pounds and up were 93 to 100. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower with the moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $84 to $91. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 13,812 head. And now the report from Fairview Sale Barn for Tuesday, April the 8th. They had receipts of 248 head, and starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 146.75 to 154. Select steers were 138 to 146. And select steers were 94 to 94 and a quarter. Choice slaughter heifers were 146.50 to 155. Select and choice heifers were 148. And select heifers were 130 to 139.50. On to the slaughter cows, they had 113 head, starting with the premiums. They were bringing 102.50 to 110 and high dressing 111 to 130. Breakers were 99 to 106 with a high dressing 106.50 to 115. Boners were 85 to 90.50 and leans were 70 to 78. On to slaughter bulls, under 1,700 pounds were 119.75 to 121 and the high dressing bulls were 124 to 129. 1,700 pound bulls and up were 115 to 120. With the high dressing at 125 to 125 and a quarter. Now on to Shelbyville for the United Producers Auction. They had receipts of 462 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers, 145 to 150, select and choice 135 to 146.25. Select steers were 133 to 136. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 133 to 140. Select and choice 128.25 to 132.25, and select Holstein steers were 115 to 116. Choice slaughter heifers, twos and threes, ranged from 147 to 151.25. Choice three and four heifers sold in the range of 139 to 142. Select and choice heifers were 135 to 144, and select heifers were selling at 130. On to the slaughter cows, they had some boners bring 90.50 to 103, and leans 85 to 93. Slaughter bulls under 1,500 pounds, 121 to 122, and over 1,500 pounds, 113.50 to 124.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 507 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $126.95, and that was $2.89 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $225.46. That was $1.53 lower. With select carcasses at $215.23. That was $1.74 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000, which compared to 117,000 last week and 122,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 411,000, which compared to 410,000 last week and 399,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.99. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.98. April corn delivered to Scottville, $4.90. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.89. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.85. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.85. April and May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.74. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.63. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.99, corn at Scottville is $4.90, beans at Greenfield are $14.85, beans at Scottville are $14.74, and wheat at Scottville is $6.63. There's been talk of a strengthening El Niño weather pattern, which would typically lead to a favorable growing season in the Corn Belt. Ryan Martin, a meteorologist with Allendale Inc., says El Niño tends to be an overhyped event, and he thinks this year is no different.
I've heard a lot about it strengthening, a lot about a super Niño, things like that. To me, I'm more in the camp of it's probably going to end up being moderate to even a non-event. Yeah, there's some warming, but I don't think it does much.
So what does a moderate or slight El Niño mean for upper Midwest weather?
El Niño does have an effect on tropical weather. Usually it does not allow for hurricanes and tropical storms to develop with quite the same frequency as they would in an otherwise normal year. It does lead to cooler and wetter weather along the Deep South, along the Gulf Coast. So you look at the lower Delta, Mississippi, Alabama areas, we're expecting wetter than normal precipitation amounts and cooler than normal temperatures. And so for Midwest weather, if you look at where we draw most of our moisture sources and where a lot of our systems are able to tap into down in that Gulf region, you know, if we're looking at wetter situations down along the Gulf Coast, that would make the argument that we should have no problem with systems coming through, tapping into some of that moisture, drawing it north up into Midwest weather.
Martin's main concern about drought in parts of the nation is in the hard red winter wheat belt.
It's very dry in a lot of that area right now. We had our first crop conditions report out, and it was, you know, by all practical purposes, it was horrible. Just a tick or so away from what we had last year. Now, the problem is, you know, I think we've had some fundamental atmospheric changes out there where it's going to take a major synoptic event to come through to kind of change this up, where we can get more moisture to come through in that part of the world, and I don't see that right now.
Again, that was meteorologist with Allendale Inc., Ryan Martin. During a House Ways and Means Committee hearing on Tuesday, American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman told members the Section 179 small business expensing should be made permanent at 2013 levels. The tax provision has allowed farmers and ranchers to expense certain purchases of assets.
Farm Bureau supports maintaining that with a cap of $500,000 per year. In other words, you could buy up to $500,000 worth of assets and be able to expense that amount in the first year, which would certainly help you bear the brunt of getting those assets to use in your business.
Stallman says farming and ranching is a capital-intensive business, and farmers and ranchers need the ability to upgrade and replace their equipment.
The tax benefit that is achieved by being able to expense these items allows producers an economic benefit that encourages them to purchase the equipment and keep their assets up to date so they can have a more productive farming operation.
Stallman says the foundation of the nation's economic prosperity is a tax policy that encourages business investment and economic activity.
The one thing we don't want are tax provisions or taxation that inhibits business activity.
American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman. We've heard the crop report, but what does it mean for everyone? I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, to see what the outlook is for the grain crops and livestock producers.
Yeah, absolutely. First condition report of the year for the winter wheat crop. Not any corn planting updates yet. That's expected to start next week, but USDA starting off with the winter wheat. Basically, it confirmed for us that the Plains winter wheat crop is in serious trouble, and that the Midwest crop right now is about an average crop, nothing to get too concerned about, nothing to get too excited about. So the real focus right now continues to be in the Plains. Overall, 35% good to excellent. That's down from 62% in November when the crop was entering dormancy. So this is a crop that had a rough winter and is showing the signs of it.
I think we all had a rough winter and can sympathize with the crop this year.
Absolutely.
Now, I know we haven't been able to get out and plant yet, but the sooner we can, the better it seems. I hear that we have shipped about 98% of our soybeans.
Absolutely. We're continuing to see strong, seasonally strong, I should say, demand for soybeans and especially for soy meal. So that means exporters and crushers are both still fighting over a very limited supply of soybeans, and it has traders and farmers and end users all concerned about whether we're going to have enough to last through the second half of the marketing year. And in reality, I don't think we will without an increase in imports. And so that's why the trade has been expecting USDA to give us confirmation of that with its April crop report. The expectation is that we're going to have to significantly import, probably record imports of soybeans and soy meal in the second half of the marketing year. And so prices have to remain high enough to pay the freight of South American ships coming north. We've already had the first cargo of soybean enter the U.S. Gulf from Brazil on Saturday of last week, and there's going to need to be many more in order to fill the need.
So if we can't fulfill our export needs, we are going to need to start importing.
We had such an aggressive export season of both the product and of the whole beans in the first half that we didn't leave enough on the shelves to meet our own needs in the second half of the marketing year. So therefore, now we need to lean upon those South American supplies to get us through until our harvest arrives. Now, the futures, we had a similar situation a year ago, although not quite as tight. The futures market fairly much ignored it and allowed the cash market to pay the freight. So we had very strong basis through the summer. To this point, the futures market is behaving like it's willing to do the work this year, which means higher futures prices, lower basis, weaker basis overall.
What does that mean for feeding it to livestock?
Well, since we don't have enough to meet our needs, even with the problems with the hog numbers, the disease, and et cetera, we're still going to have to import, either be it soy meal or soybeans. And so that means that price has to stay elevated enough to pay the freight to bring it north from South America. And so what that means to the livestock producer is don't expect soy meal prices to just fall out of bed anytime soon. They're not going to be cheap through the summer, probably not until we get our own new crop supplies in the fall.
So even though livestock numbers are down, we're still looking at higher feed prices.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. And the hog producer is going to pay the biggest price. Poultry is obviously has to pay the price for the protein as well, but I think poultry will be well positioned to get the demand from the shortage of beef and pork, and so that'll help soften the blow.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.